So I just want to bring a short word to you this morning. And for a number of months now, Jesus, probably from about October, November, Jesus has been speaking to me from Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, but not in the way that I originally would have thought he was going to. You know, when you read a story and you think, I know what God's saying, and then he says something completely different, you're like, wow, I've never really thought of that before. So before we kind of begin, I want to read Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Some of you will know this is the parable of the talents. In my Bible, it's called the parable of the bags of gold. That sounds more fun. So Matthew 25 from verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who'd received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See? Here is what belongs to you. The master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay. When I read this, I heard the Holy Spirit ask me, who do you say I am? I was like, that's not the point of the story, Lord. He's like, no, it really is. Read it again. Who do you say that I am? Do you say that I'm a hard man? What we believe about Jesus will change our behaviour, will change our actions, will ultimately change our lives. And I think for a number of years, some of my response to Jesus was, you were a hard man. Some of my response was, I was afraid, so I've just done this. I've just hidden it away. The first 2 servants responded correctly. They understood who the master was. They understood that the master had entrusted them with something. He trusted them with something. He had given them 5 bags of gold to the one man, 2 bags of gold to the other. I did a little bit of research in this. I don't know if you guys have ever done research into this, but a talent, which is the bag of gold that was given, is worth 20 years of a labourer's wage. So if we go on the fact that a labourer's wage in this country currently is about 22,000, that's the bottom end. That works out at 5 bags of gold would be approximately 2,200,000. Okay? That's quite an entrusting, hey? The kingdom of heaven is like a man who gives you 5 bags of gold. That's an incredible thing to receive, hey? So 2 bags of gold works out at 440,000. One bag of gold works out at 220,000. And his response, I knew you were a hard man. I don't get that. Now, I'm sure that he had a wrong perception of the master, and maybe I shouldn't be too harsh on him. But if I'd just been handed 220,000, I don't think my response should be, I knew you were a hard man, an ungenerous man. That blew me away when I did that bit of research. The first two servants recognised the value that had been handed to them. They recognised that the master had said, I'm trusting you with this. And the Lord spoke to me from John 15, you know, where it says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends, because a servant does not know his master's business. And now I've appointed you to go and bear much fruit. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I've entrusted you because I no longer call you a servant, I call you a friend. And I've made known to you what I want to do. Here you are, here's the kingdom of heaven. Here's your five bags of gold. Here's your £2,200,000. I want you to go and I want you to do something with it. I'm entrusting you with it. I'm appointing you to go and bear fruit. Who do you say that he is? Do you say that he's the master who has entrusted you with something incredibly valuable? Do you say that he's the one who has seen your possibilities, he's seen your capability and has said, yeah, you're worth 440,000. Here you go, I'm going to give it to you. What are you going to do with it? I trust you with it. Who do you say he is? Or do you say, oh, I know you're a hard man. I'm just going to dig a big hole and put this in the ground. Just leave it there because I wouldn't want to, you know, wouldn't want to be on the wrong end of you. What are we going to do with this gospel? What are we going to do with the kingdom of God? Because we have all been entrusted with something by the master. He calls us friends and he appoints us to go and bear fruit. The master had invested 20 years worth of wages in that man. And he dug a hole and he put it in the ground because of a wrong understanding, a lack of response to God. He buried it and refused to do anything with it. What will you say about God? Who do you believe that he is? Sorry, I've only got about another 30 pages. It's fine. I'm joking. So what do you say about the master? You know, Jesus asked that question a number of times and we hear it in Matthew, in Mark and in Luke. Who do people say that I am? He asked the disciples. Oh, well, some say that you're a prophet and some say that you're Elijah and all of that. And he says, yeah, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And we hear Peter's response, don't we? That you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. What you say will affect how you act. It will affect what you give him. It will affect how you behave. It will affect your character. So firstly, I want to say that there might be some of you who have never said that you believe he is the Son of God in this room this morning. There are some of you that might have never responded and said, yes, I believe that you are the Messiah. Maybe you've heard something this morning where you've had an inkling that there is something more and you want to respond to Jesus this morning. You want to accept him as part of your life. Because once you know who he is, it's difficult to ignore that, right? Once you recognize him as Messiah. I really felt an inkling this morning that there is somebody that needs to know that he is the God who sees you. There was a woman in Genesis 16 who was sent out from her home and she called out to God and God provided for her and she called him, you are the God who sees me. It was Hagar in Genesis 16. You are the God who sees me. Is that who you say he is this morning? Maybe you are ready to respond to Jesus because you recognize he is the one who sees you. He is El Roy, the God who sees you. There was another woman in John 4 who recognized that Jesus was the one who saw her. Oh, where is it? There we go. And many of us will already know this story. Jesus talks to a Samaritan woman at a well. He saw her. he saw her. She was part of the Samaritans, so she was despised by many around her. She was despised in Israel along with the rest of the Samaritans. But Jesus saw her. She was segregated from her community probably because she was a woman who didn't really follow the rules, but Jesus saw her. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Who do you say he is this morning? And some of you might need to respond to the one who sees you this morning and say, yeah, I believe that you are the Messiah. He eventually speaks to her and tells her things that no one else really knows. He directly speaks into her life and says, I know that you've been married a lot of times and the person you're now living with is not your husband. And she's like, wow, how did you know that? Because I'm the one who sees you. Some of you might need to respond to the one who sees you this morning. Some of you might need to say, I know that you're the one who sees me. And her response to that is, now that she knows, she goes and she tells everyone, come and meet the man who told me everything I ever did. And some of you might need to respond to Jesus like that this morning. You might need to go and say to people, come and meet the man who told me everything I ever did. This woman had a checkered past, a difficult life, but she recognized Jesus for who he was and she accepted him. She recognized that he knew her, he saw her, and she wanted the water of life that he offered. And when she accepted him, she then went and told everyone, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. And this morning you might feel that finally you have been recognized by Jesus. You feel recognized by him this morning. Later on, I'll give you the opportunity to just pray and maybe start that new day with him today, because he is the God who sees you. So how do you see God this morning? It might be as the one who sees you. Mary of Bethany understood who the Master was already. And I just realised I need my phone for this, man. Can you just pass it to me? I'm currently in the process of writing a book. So I'm just going to read you a little bit of my book. Is that all right? And this is kind of a paraphrase of the scripture in Luke 10. Who does Mary see Jesus? Who does she see who does she see he is? So this is a paraphrase of Luke 10, 38 to 42, the Downs version. Mary sat quietly at his feet, trying not to catch her sister's eye. She knew her place, and it was not here. Martha had lit the indoor oven for the new guests. The smell of pressed olives and fresh bread filled the room. Martha moved quickly between the courtyard fire and the kitchen, checking on the meat. She looked flustered and frustrated. Mary felt a twinge of guilt, but tried to focus on the words of this new teacher. She surreptitiously passed the discarded platter of bread to John, signalling for him to pass it on. She hoped that this would be enough to stop the guilt, but in reality, she knew that somehow this was more important. She was mesmerised. Her inner voice recited the prophet Isaiah, "Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him and he will bring justice to the nations." And she couldn't help but wonder. It was written all over him. He oozed glory and love. His wisdom and kindly glances kept her pinned to the dusty floor. When he spoke, heaven spoke and she was changed. When he spoke, heaven moved and the earth shifted somehow. In coming weeks, Mary would look back at this moment and understand the magnitude and power of his voice. But for now, she just caught a glimpse of eternity, and it was enough for her to know she didn't care about social etiquette anymore. This man would change the course of their family forever. A disgruntled Martha shouted from the kitchen, "Mary!" Mary pretended not to hear above the clamour. The word had spread that the rabbi was in Bethany and the crowds had gathered. Martha had an honest claim on Mary's time now, but she didn't want to miss a word. Colour sprang to her cheeks and she turned her head away from her sister's advance. Her brother caught her eye and mischievously winked. He'd never been one for social convention and recognised the eternal moment they were in. It seemed he knew too. The rabbi looked up lovingly at Martha and held out his hand to her as she angrily stared in Mary's direction. Tears sprang to her eyes and she placed her hands in his. "Master, don't you care? Tell her I need her." His calloused hands gently drew her down to sit by him. Among the gathering crowd, Martha sat for the first time in a while. The cares of the hour had reddened her cheeks. Salty tears coursed down her hot face as Jesus spoke gently to her. "You've done a great job. Such great food. Such a beautiful home. Why don't you sit down and listen?" "But Lord, there's so much to do. So many people to feed." A small smile wrinkled Jesus' brow. "I know you're concerned that we feel welcome. And we really do. Look at this beautiful food. And you've done it all. But Mary has chosen to sit down for the one meal that really matters. She's chosen what's better. Why don't you join her?" As she sat for a moment, Mary watched as the angst flowed out of her sister's face and shoulders. The hostess of Bethany. Mary loved her for her generosity. She had invited in the rabbi with a reputation for scandal and was for now a captive audience. As Jesus spoke, Martha caught his heart as Mary had done an hour before, and suddenly she knew only one guest really mattered, the teacher from Galilee. The bread, wine, lamb was all good. She had a name locally for good food. She knew her guests had all they really needed. Here was a man who was the bread of life, who was the wine of joy, who was the Lamb of God. Who was she to argue when he had invited her to his table? So, Mary and ultimately Martha rightly understand who Jesus is. They recognize his lordship. Who would they say he is? They would say he is the Messiah. And Mary understood that when you respond to the Messiah, he requires us to listen, sit at his feet, and listen to him. He is worthy of worship. And the response is, "I'm going to sit. And I'm going to listen to who you are." A little bit later in John 12, when Jesus raises her brother from the dead, Mary offers Jesus everything, all 5 bags of gold. She knew he was worth it. In John 12, verses 1 to 8, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. And then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Jesus is anointed by Mary. And actually, we come to understand that this is a prophetic act where she's preparing him for his burial. She responds to him because he is worthy of worship. So we've got the Samaritan woman responding because she recognizes he's the Messiah and he sees her. We've got Mary and Martha responding because they recognize he needs listening to. And now Mary comes and she brings everything and she responds to him in worship. Those are some of the things that we need to be. When we recognize who he is, some of the things that we need to do in response. But I just want to take you to verse 4 of John 12, because it says, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. "Why isn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages." You hear the same voice. "I knew you were a hard man," from Matthew 25, not recognizing rightly who Jesus is. Judas didn't recognize who Jesus was rightly. he wasn't willing at that point to see the reason why Mary would pour it all out for him. He sees Mary's sacrifice as frivolous because it doesn't acknowledge Jesus correctly. So I want to just bring kind of those three, that question to you again, and those three responses. I don't want to be someone who says, I know you're a hard man. I want us to recognize who Jesus really is. And when you guys sang that song towards the end, you know, may his favor be upon you. Even that song, his goodness is running after you. Do we honestly believe that about Jesus this morning? Do we believe that he is kind and he is generous and he loves us? I think sometimes our actions would suggest that we think he is a hard God, that he's a hard master. But actually, he is a loving God. He's a generous and kind God. And he asks us to respond to him this morning. So we see the man in Matthew 25 saying, I know you're a hard man, but I don't want to respond to Jesus like that this morning. I want to respond like the woman at the well, who says, I'm going to go and do something about this new revelation that I've had, who Jesus is. I understand that you are the Messiah. You've told me everything that I ever did, and now I'm going to go. And maybe that's your response this morning. Maybe you recognize who he is. Maybe you need to give your life to him. Maybe it will be part of your story in the next few weeks and months that you will go and tell people who Jesus is. Second of all, you might be like Mary, who you recognize that this guy is different and he's worth listening to. You recognize that he is worth the title of teacher and rabbi. I love that old, there's a really old fashioned statement that used to be said to people when they became disciples of rabbis, and it was, may you always be covered in the dust of your master. I love that. That you're walking so close behind him, listening in to those conversations, that you're covered in the dust off his feet. May we be people like that. Maybe you need to respond to him like that this morning. I recognize that you are a teacher. I recognize that you are the one that I need in my life. And so I choose to sit and respond to you and listen to you. In Isaiah, I think it says that you waken me morning by morning to listen like one being taught. Maybe that's what you need to respond to him with this morning. I recognize that you are teacher. You're the one I need to listen to. So I'm going to come before you and listen like one being taught. And maybe you recognize like Mary that he is worthy of all of our worship. And maybe you need to just take some time to worship him with everything. You know, just a few days after Mary had done that, Jesus went to his death. And I've always thought, if you'd had a pint of pure nard, a pint of perfume poured on you just a few days before, he's going to still smell of that worship as he's being beaten. He's still going to smell of that as he has been crucified. And it says in another gospel that what Mary had did will be told right across the world. The beauty of her worship will be spread right every time the story of the gospel is preached, her worship will be known. And so I want to be one of those that brings that kind of worship to Jesus, that brings everything to him, that is willing to pour out. Yeah, that perfume was worth a year's wages. We talked a lot about money this morning, but you know, so it's a reflection of who he is when I can pour out everything that I've earned this year on him. All of my talent, all of my time, my sung worship, but also my, you know, my gifting. He is worthy of it all. So who do you recognize him as this morning? Who do you say he is? Let's pray first. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that you are not a hard master, but actually you have entrusted us with this gospel. You have entrusted us with the kingdom of God. You've seen who we are and you know our capability, and you entrust us with this precious, precious gift of the gospel. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would respond rightly to you this morning, that we would not see you as a hard man, but actually, Lord, we would see you for the master you really are, that you call us friends. You don't call us servants, but you've told us what you're up to, and you have given us and entrusted us with a precious, precious gift. Lord God, may we respond rightly to you this morning. And there might be some of you here this morning that say, I need to respond to Jesus. And if that is you, I'm just going to pray a prayer. And you can just repeat it quietly in your heart and then make sure you tell someone afterwards. Lord Jesus, I recognize that you are the Savior of the world. Without you, Lord Jesus, I cannot live this life anymore. And I come to you now in my weakness and in my sin, and I ask you to forgive me and to change me from the inside out. Lord Jesus, would you make my life new, transform me? I believe that you are King of Kings. And I come to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If any of you have prayed that prayer this morning, I pray that you would speak to Pastor Nigel or someone that you've come with to just talk to them about that. And I want to just pray now for those of us that already know him as Messiah, as Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we would have the right response to you this morning. Lord, that we would be like that Samaritan woman that would go and tell. That we would go and tell our stories of faith to those around us, that, Lord God, in our places of ministry, in our workplaces, Lord God, that our stories of faith would be spread. Because, Lord Jesus, you cannot be ignored. When you change our lives, when you touch our lives, Lord God, we have to share that. And I pray, Father, that we would be a people that shares stories of faith all around us in our spheres of influence. Lord, I also pray that we would be people who listen, that we would come before you and we would listen. We would hear you. Father, as we read your word, that you would speak to us and we would listen and respond. And finally, Lord, I pray that we would be people of worship, that we would respond like Mary and bring you our all. Lord, we bring you those 5 bags of gold and say, here, and here is more. Thank you for the investment, and I give it back to you now. I bring my worship to you. I bring you my everything. Lord Jesus, I pray a blessing on us. I pray, Father, that these words, Lord God, would not fall away, but Lord God, you would allow them to bear fruit and fruit that would last. Lord, I thank you that you have appointed us to go and bear fruit that will last. And we pray, Father God, that you would do that in us this week, that we would be followers, we would be fishers, in Jesus' name. Amen.